B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That Chris Paul news is nuts.
Yeah, Chris Paul, if he is not vaccinated, that's on him, and congratulations.
When's the last athlete during this whole playoff run with the NHL and the NBA that had to go into COVID protocol?
The only guy I can think of is the golfer.
Yep.
Who had every opportunity to get vaccinated and cost himself millions of dollars and then bitched about it.
Who's that? Oh, John Rahm. That's right. He was. That was him.
Yeah,
John
Rahm. He had a 6-shot lead on Saturday and had to pull out.
Then people are like, "Well, he wasn't sick." And then you go, "Okay, fine. He doesn't have to be vaccinated. That's up to him. He can play without being vaccinated. But the problem is, if you test positive for it, sick or not, the rule is you can't play.
Get ready. So I mean, the NFL is going to have a massive problem on its hands.
Sam Darnold has come out and said that he's not going to do it, and that's fine. And I don't even think anything less of you. That's fine. But if you get COVID. Even if you don't get sick,
and the other team
you're not going to be able to play.
And the other team is thoroughly vaccinated, then you're screwed.
Well, it's the same thing with the Red Sox. Can you imagine if you're vaccinated on the Red Sox and they can't get the 85%?
Yep.
And you can't go out on the road. I don't know how much they're enforcing it, but I imagine they're enforcing it a bit. And like the Cardinals, because they went through all their crap last year, I would imagine the Cardinals were vaccinated before the season started. They had everyone vaccinated. I mean, whatever. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. Whatever your reasons are, that's fine. But the thing is, don't bitch once you get it.
Be prepared to live with the consequences and be prepared to live with the team upset at you for these consequences.
So, Chris Paul, you're having a career resurgence. I mean, people are starting to talk about you, like how underappreciated you've been throughout your career.
This could have been the year. And like, this could have been finally the year that he wins a championship.
They have as good a chance as anyone.
Yep. Out of all the teams that are left, I mean, they swept that last round, which, by the way, is advantageous when it comes to this timeline. Because I think it's at least 10 days that you're out on the COVID protocol. I don't know if it's any more than that.
It's 10 days.
So it's 10 days right now. And you've got the other series in the West, which John reminded me is now tied at 2-2.
2-2, I believe.
And the Suns are done. So he may lose a game way the timing goes.
Still a game. And he still can't practice with the team. And he still can't be around team activities. So it's not a good situation.
Crazy.
I don't care if he misses one, two games. It's bad. And it's all, but and the sad thing is, it could have been avoided. But.
Well, we don't know whether he, because there are some people testing positive who have been vaccinated.
Well, then it should be treated differently.
A very, very small amount of people,
and it should be, it's one of those things that, you know, the lightning strike where everyone will point and pay attention to
like
it.
And I don't think 1%.
They also wouldn't have put it in COVID protocol if they wouldn't have done another test, like a background. I don't think this would be the false positive that we got when everyone was getting tested. You had to do it at spur of the moment. I have a feeling in this case, they wouldn't have run with this and put it out there unless they had.
I mean, he must really think that someone's out to get him. I mean, if you're willing to sacrifice your playoff fortunes because you're afraid of the vaccine, I mean, you must really think. Because it's one thing if you just don't get it because it's like you're just some guy. But if you're in somewhere where your job requires you to not have COVID.
Yes, and you're making tens of millions of dollars.
Right, but in your like legacy is on the line. I mean, you must really think like there are, like someone like wants to poison you. Like there is an invisible entity out there whose goal is to poison the world.
Members of his inner circle are all conspiracy theorists. No, don't get it. Don't get it, man. No, they're trying to track you down.
Was he with LeBron when LeBron broke COVID protocol? I thought Chris Paul was part of that crew, and then LeBron didn't get in trouble for it because they all had to apparently sign something to go to this party.
There was Jokic or someone was with him that got in. Some white guy was with him. Some white basketball player was with him.
I remember.
I don't remember either. I just remember the guy was white. Because I went, oh, that's a white guy, basketball player. Very rare. But, can you imagine that? I mean, you really think that someone is out to kill like a billion of people. Like someone just wants to kill a billion people. That they've used, I assume that they would have created COVID or the myth of COVID to get you to take this vaccine to the ultimate end of killing off the species. And you would have to believe that enough to sacrifice playoff games. Because if you're just some like dude like walking around, like I like it's a pain in the ass. I don't want to get it. Like I don't want to chance it. Fine. That's all fine. But if someone said to me, all right, I'm playing in the PGA Tour. You have an opportunity to win $6 million, which is a lot of money. I don't care how much money you have. $6 million. And all you got to do is get this shot. But you have to put aside the belief that there is an entity out there that is looking to kill the human race or to spy on the human race. Well, there you go. Meanwhile, if someone, you know, cuts a line of ketamine for you and you're 17 years old at a party, that's up your nose in 10 seconds. Billy Jeff.
I don't know what parties you were going to at 17, but...
Listen, ketamine is... Ketamine, there was a kid, Ben, that lived underneath us, and he snorted a bunch of ketamine, and I got up to do my morning show one morning, and we went on the air at 5:30, and I was going to work, and his front door was open to his apartment, and he was laying in the front door, passed out, with music blaring and all the lights on. Jeez. It was really something. Did I help him? No. He had to learn a lesson.
I understand.
All right, we're not going to have time to get to Billy Jaffe right now. We're going to have to hold Billy Jaffe over, but he's got nothing going on.
He's got plenty of time.
His kids are still... He's not traveling. His kids are in Newton schools.
When is he filming the big drinking coffee thing?
He does have something going on. He's in Tampa.
Oh, okay.
So he had to get... But he's still in the Eastern time zone.
We can have it on for... I know the clock. Can we do 10 minutes with Billy?
Well, we screw up the clock, and this is the hour where Rick is big on the clock.
Yes.
The 9 o'clock hour is the
hour. Can we do 5 minutes with him and then 5 minutes when we get back?
Sure. All right, Billy, hello.
Whoa. Good morning.
How's Tampa?
Yeah, good morning. Amazing. Actually, not as good as listening to you guys. And by the way, there was a player in the NHL that was fully vaccinated, David Perron, who the first round tested positive, was out for the whole first round, and but he was fully vaxxed according to stuff. So who knows what's going on?
Yeah,
but I'm just enjoying listening to you guys.
And now that you mention it, there was that story about the Yankees. There was a couple guys on the Yankees, right, who were vaccinated, and so maybe
I thought it was 8 or 9.
Yeah, it was a lot. So there might actually be a situation where Chris Paul was vaccinated and somehow was. But you're right, Fred. If that's the case, then you have to handle that differently.
I would handle it differently because isn't it harder to transmit it or something if you've been vaccinated? I don't know what the hell the deal is.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, I stopped paying attention to COVID once they opened everything up. I said it's not my responsibility anymore.
All right, so we only have a couple minutes with you before we go to break and then come back. I want to start with Dougie Hamilton because the question was asked to Cam Neely yesterday about the potential of him coming to this team or returning. Obviously, he didn't show his hand or what they thought. He did say, however, that he thought he had matured. We've been saying he's exactly what the Bruins need as far as position is concerned. But what would be your opinion of bringing back Dougie? Could he play here? And do you think with all of the questions about his leadership and his motivation and all the things that plagued him when he left can be righted by the time he gets back?
Does he want to come back to Boston? I'm not convinced that he would want that, first of all, Rich.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to play the whole hypothetical, let's assume he does. I just don't think the money would be right. He's going to look for a big payday. I mean, you've got McAvoy last year of his deal. I'm going to say it's 7. I might be off by 100 grand. It's 7 million, I think, is in his last year because he's going to get – that was the 3-year bridge deal that he was on. I can't imagine that Dougie Hamilton isn't looking for 8.5 to 9 million a year. Now, whether he gets that or not, I don't know. He wants to push that upper limit with all the points that he's produced. I don't know. I think when all's said and done, I don't think he's part of that core that you're building. Look, he's a hell of a defenseman. He puts up a lot of points. He hasn't he puts up points at times in playoffs, but it's a different look. I go back to this, Rich? I'm not convinced that he'd want to come back to Boston. I think he'd want to look.
Things ended badly, and I know the fans aren't big. They're not big Dougie Hamilton people either.
Yeah, I think my guess is he'd look to go somewhere else.
I wouldn't want him.
Things seem to be ending badly wherever he goes, though, Billy. I mean, they didn't end well here. They didn't end well in Calgary, they're ending well here.
Yeah, his size and talent. You'd think that one. I mean, you. I don't think you're going to look at McAvoy and go,
I don't. Oh,
Oh boy, McAvoy's, you know, playing on his fourth team at Hamilton's age. I think McAvoy's going to be a Bruin.
There's a difference.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I think that that he brings an element to the game that is, you know, pretty special in certain ways, but there's a difference between regular season and postseason. And, you know, you need to have, you saw it with Charlie McAvoy. Those are the kind of guys in Charlie McAvoy that elevate their performance in the highest, most intense level of competition. And, you know, while the points are nice, it's more about the minutes and it's about the intensity and it's about the physical play. And I think you saw that in Charlie. I do. I think you saw that exactly what you want.
All right. By the way, Kawhi Leonard is out tonight.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I saw that.
Now, this is not COVID. This is the knee injury that
yes,
he had in
that's right.
This is according to Ramona Shelbourne. And
don't forget the other guy who's reporting on this.
Well, he's just reporting what she's reporting.
Imagine
if they were a
can't
couple.
Can't leave out winners.
Imagine if they were a couple.
Oh, over dinner they broke this news together?
Perhaps they are a couple.
I see. All right.
Perhaps cheap shot.
Ramona and Windhorse yep. are a couple.
Ramona and Weezus. That is, of course, a Ramona and Beezus. Judy Blume book reference for all of you who used to read back.
Thanks, Rich.
There you go.
Well, you could be on the fence if Brian Windhorse ate himself female. Again, my theory that your testosterone level drops to a dangerous amount because Brian Windhorse, I don't know if has the ability to grow facial hair. So he's one of these high-voiced fatzos running around.
If that's not a band name, I don't know what it is.
The high-voiced fatzos? They could just be kids that used to sing for the Mormon Tabernacle Choir that have been castrated. Eunuchs. Fat eunuchs. All right. Well, Windhorse sucks. I can't stand him.
It's breaking news.
No, well, he's breaking Ramona Shelbourne's news.
Well, they said, and me. Together, they're reporting it.
Well, what is it? Two people?
One super unit.
Yes, they both made the call. So, they were at dinner.
This isn't...
it was on a speakerphone center of the table.
This isn't Watergate. There didn't seem a lot of investigation that had to go on. You just had to know a guy with the Clippers that went, hey, Kawhi's not playing. Mm-hmm. Perhaps they were had him on speakerphone while they were...
That's what I was saying.
While they were bopping. Maybe he had the phone on Ramona's back. Who knows?
Oh, man.
Well, that's a sight I'd like to see.
Okay. Yes, yes.
No. DA right. always shows up.
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's right up there with On Golden Pond from earlier.
I'd throw pastrami sandwiches in the area.
Billy being very quiet right now.
Eat, reporters, eat.
All right. Billy will kiss
I just thought you guys
us.
Had a break to get to.
Yes, we do.
Well, there was breaking news. There was breaking news. Yeah. You got to break the news. All right. We'll be back with Billy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Sports Hub.
Cutcher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I don't think we can look at the roster now when you lose in the second round and say you can compete for a Stanley Cup. I mean, players that are on the roster that are coming back certainly need to improve. You know, you need to get more out of, you know, the third and fourth line, even the second line we didn't get enough out of in that last series, so... You know, I think we have to look at improving our roster to improve our chances to win a cup.
Jumbo home cooked meatball.
Billy Jaffe, Bruins analyst for Ness and also analyst for the NHL Network, currently covering the Tampa series down there versus the Islanders for the NHL Network. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. If you're on Twitch, you can see him because he's over there on the computer. Billy, you heard yesterday Sweeney and Neely talk, And it sounds like they've realized the inevitable, which is you're going to have to break up this core a little bit. How difficult is it in the NHL to get creative with trades? In that if they're going to have so much cap space, is it a situation where they might be able to add a guy by taking on a bad contract of someone else? How does that work in the NHL?
Well, that's one way that you can. I mean, you prefer not to have to take on the bad contract, but sometimes that is the capital you need to lose, but use. But there's also just the fact that it's a flat cap in the NHL again next year due to the COVID situation or, you know, the pandemic. And they can start hopefully cherry picking a couple of teams out there that find themselves at a very high cap threshold and or over the cap. You know, the Tampa Bay Lightning are a team that's going to have to get rid of a couple of contracts. And you can actually get – you don't even need to sometimes – you know, Fred, take a bad contract back. You can say, look, I'm helping you out. You give me an extra pick. I'll take this contract, but you give me an extra pick for taking that contract. We saw the Bruins do that with Anaheim and Backus.
Yeah.
So there's that. There's a lot of teams out there right now that are waiting to do their cap gymnastics at the end of the season when this is all said and done. But because it's going to be a flat cap, at least for this, and I think the following year, too, that was the deal that the Players Association made with the league that, you know, that they would accept, as long as they didn't lose money right off the top, that they would go a flat cap for the next, I think it was a couple of years. So there's going to be some teams out there, Fred, that they can, it's not pilfer, but they can go and they can use their cap space, which is huge. And that's where they have some decisions to make in re-signing. You know, you talk about breaking up the core. Well, it sure sounds to me like, They still want David Krejci back if he's prepared to come back. They obviously want to work out something with Hall. So it looks like if they sign Krejci and Hall that, you know, your top six is back and that's your big core. And then McAvoy on the back end is the other big part of it. And, you know, a couple of obviously Carlo and Grizzly, but your core's in theory, they want back. It's just a matter of everybody can come to an agreement.
What are you hearing about guys who can be the veteran backup for Swayman if indeed Tuukka? I mean, I don't see any rational in bringing Tuukka Rask back, especially with the surgery, but that doesn't that seem like that would be the route that they would go? And if so, like, who do you believe is going to be a perfect fit, who's going to be available?
Well, they've got to make a decision before I get to the actual perfect fit, Rich. They got to make that decision that you're talking about. Do you go with the two young kids? You know, do you look at the two young kids and have them go all the way, you know, as long as possible, and then have Tuukka come back?
Have Vladar be the backup until Tuukka's healthy?
A tandem. That's the question they've got to decide.
If Rask gets healthy.
Yeah, that's another issue.
But I don't know. Listen, and I don't believe in that. What I was going to say, I don't believe in that. In fact, I've told you, and I told you, and I said on Nesson before, I still think that a guy like Swayman could use time in a great way in the American League to continue building up his game. I want him to be that guy for the next 10, 12 years, right? I want to ensure that he's as stable as possible. But let's assume that Swayman, you know, stays up. You bring in a guy, you know, there's a guy. Here's the deal. You got to bring in a guy who's very comfortable and they're probably only signing a 1 or 2 year deal. I'm going to throw out a few names. I've already looked this up on the plane coming down here. In fact, last week, you know, I've been asked about Philip Grubauer, about Colorado. I don't know. I think he's going to want a bigger deal. I don't know if I see that. Could a guy like Peter Mrazek, who's been in Carolina, could he be on the outs looking in? He's 29. What happened to him?
Okay. He was supposed to be like the deal. He was supposed to be the guy. He was a big prospect for the Red Wings,
and he played for Philly, too. He shows at times moments of Nedeljkovic, a young kid, a former first-round pick, stepped up this year, and so he ended up taking the reins more down in Carolina until the playoffs when they started later in the playoffs going back and forth because neither was jumping off the charts. Jonathan Bernier played at the Detroit Red Wings recently. He's 32. He could be a guy that could be, you know, all right for you. You can sign him probably on a 1 or 2 year deal. You know, listen, I just don't see anybody in their prime. There's a guy out of Florida, Chris Dreger, who is interesting to me. See, they've got now they've got Spencer Knight in Florida, who came in out of Boston College, like a Swayman, a real deal prospect. But then they've also got Bobrovsky going on $10 million a year for another 6 or 7 years. It's an albatross of a contract. So that means that Chris Dreger could be available. The question becomes, and I've liked his game, the question becomes, guys, does he want to sign a deal with a team that already has another young goalie, much younger than him, but another young goalie that they're looking to the future? Or does he say, hey, you know what, I can get some good money for on a 2-year deal with them and play in a great organization? That could be somebody interesting to me. But I don't think there's anybody perfect for that spot. Right
yeah, now. I mean, you're looking at goal like Mrazek, and those guys are in their early 30s. Dreger's what, 26, 27?
I think he's 28. I think he's 28 years old. He got a little bit of a late bloomer in his game. At times, he was their best goalie. I talked to people down in Florida, coaches down there, and he was their best goalie. All you had to do was look at his performance, a very confident kid. But again, does he want to go to a team where he's like, no, I'm going to cash in and I'm going to get the bulk of the starts because that's what he wants. That to me is going to be the big decision for him.
All right. Well, Billy Jaffe, I know you got to get out of Tampa. Thank you so much for the time, sir. Safe travels.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
All right. There you go.
The little bit I've watched of that series has been pretty good. Like that Islanders Lightning, just as I said, I haven't watched like entire games, but I've put it on for like a period at a time. And I tweeted out, I just showed it to Freddie. I didn't get to watch a lot of the game last night, but there's a save from Vasilevsky that was just.
Yes.
I mean, it was fantastic. And people ask why he's one of the greatest on the planet right now. It's saves like that.
But it's interesting. I mean, the Islanders did what they needed to do. They went and got a split in Tampa. It's nice to see the Islanders do this to another team that is significantly better than you, by the way. I mean, it kind of puts the Bruins' loss in perspective if they keep it up.
It just seems like Tampa was one of those things where they had the layoff and they weren't really engaged.
Well, we'll see. You may very well be right, but it was shocking to me that the Islanders took game one in Tampa Bay like that.
Yeah, this is Tampa's run. They'll win the cup this year, and then they got to, like Billy said, they got to start unloading talent, but that must be nice. I mean, they maximized their core group while they had it.
It could have backfired so spectacularly, and it didn't.
They kind of lucked out, too, because they finished third in their division. They didn't have Stamkos. They didn't have Kucherov.
And Kucherov, I guess, didn't get cost against the cap or something. There was some
long-term injured reserve for a while.
Yeah, so they were able to add.
But, I mean, Kucherov literally didn't play in a regular season game and came in and just immediately lit it up.
Yeah.
Former NHL MVP. But still, you're off for what, 4 or 5 months?
That's the NHL playoffs. That's amazing. Rich showed me the save, and I go, that's what you got to do. You got to make that save.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to do those things in the playoffs.
Trophy finalist again.
Yeah. That's what you need. And unfortunately, that's what you need.
Sometimes you just need better than very good. You need special.
Yes.
That's what he is.
That's what you need. Yes. That's certainly what you need in the playoffs. All right, Rich, we have the stat coming up. What will we discuss?
When golfers get arrested mid-tournament, a lot of people watching the NBA, and Vince Wilfork just found out who stole his Super Bowl rings and probably wishes he didn't.
Yeah, that's a tough ask.
Yes.
What are you going to do? All right, here are the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Talking about the game is no game.
You were listening, you were enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. CJ McCollum throwing a little Twitter shade.
Oh, towards who?
Giannis, he says, but not without mentioning Giannis by name. Of course, Kevin Durant went off for 49 points last night. He played every minute of the game. And inexplicably, Milwaukee with two all-defensive first-teamers, they didn't put Giannis. They didn't just say Giannis. this is your responsibility for the fourth quarter. I don't care if you score a point.
They're up by 16 at the half. There's no excuse for them to be able to. I know they have Kevin Durant, best player on the planet, but you allegedly have one of the best defensive players on the planet. You didn't use him.
No, it would be as simple as saying we are willing to sacrifice your offense for the defense. That is the way we're going to win this game.
Truth be told, Antetokounmpo should have said, I want this guy. He's killing us.
I don't know if that's his personality.
During that media timeout, I mean, you got three minutes and 35 seconds to sit there during a timeout saying, coach, we're getting crushed. Give me this guy.
I don't know what their coach was thinking.
Well, Giannis also choked like in other aspects of the game. He like fumbled the ball.
Well, he missed a free throw before that.
Well, he missed free throws all the time.
But last night he had two free throws to get him within one. And he missed the back end.
And it cost him later on in the other possessions.
Well, no. And then Durant missed, if I'm remembering this correctly, he misses free throw. Durant misses a three, and he'll advise three. Giannis gets the rebound and then turns the ball over. All right, anyway. So C.J. McCollum says, who's sitting at home now, says, bruh, first team all defense and ain't go check easy $ circle face with the contemplative look.
Right.
Well,
I mean,
he showed
him.
Take
that sitting down? C.J. McCollum, why don't you enjoy being in Portland and leave everyone else alone?
Speaking of that team.
I guess he's saying it's easy money because he made money for being on the all-defensive team. And today I would say, C.J. McCollum, you win a playoff series. You go win. You and Damian Lillard go win. I mean, you're in Portland. Giannis is in the second round, and it's him and Middleton. So you go win.
Mm-hmm.
You do what Giannis does. Brah.
And choke.
Choke in the second round is better than choking in the first round.
Well, that is definitely true. And speaking of that.
What did McCollum do in that series? Not enough.
I actually don't remember specifically.
Right, because you remember what Lillard did.
Of course, everyone does. Yeah, because that's basically Damian Lillard and the guys who aren't Damian Lillard.
Right,
on the team.
And C.J. McCollum makes a pretty good living being the other guy.
So speaking of that series and the Nets, you know, you had Big Baby Glenn Davis who was running his mouth about the ankle injury that happened with Kyrie Irving and how Kyrie went and stomped on the logo and he goes, oh, what a shame that you ended up injuring the same ankle. So I tried to reach out to Big Baby Glenn Davis. I know we talked about yesterday how you're going to do that. And my first step was to try to get a hold of him on social media. He takes no direct messages or anything like that. And then I went to Chris Forsberg and Chris was nice. He got right back to me and he goes, hey, I've been trying to get a hold of him at this number that I've had for a while. It's either disconnected or he just doesn't get back to people. And he said, why don't you try like this guy? And I tried another person, didn't work. And then he goes, hey, here might be a good idea. Why don't you go on Cameo where Big Baby Glenn Davis is taking direct messages from people for $4? So you have to pay $4 in order to get a direct message to him that he's supposed to respond right back to you with. So I was like, all right, why the hell not?
You get 250,000 of those, you're a millionaire.
Wow.
So to have a video from Big Baby Glenn Davis, just take a guess how much it costs.
$50.
$160.
Of course it does.
He wants $160.
All of Baton Rouge is lining up.
Right. So I send him a $4 direct message just saying, hey, Glenn, it's Rich from 98.5 Sports. By the way, we only have 250 little things.
Yeah, you can't be wasting his time.
No, sure. He said, hey, Glenn, this is Rich from 98.5 in Boston, the Celtics radio station. Would you like to come on with us tomorrow morning and talk the Celtics and Kyrie? And I leave my email address. And for $4, I have not heard back from
come
Mr.
On.
Big Baby Glenn Davis.
Well, he's got 3 days, I think, is the Cameo overrunner.
Do I get a refund? How long is the wait?
Cameo, one of the worst run companies in terms of tech that I can think of. I'm an idiot, but I usually can figure things out. Cameo was well above my pay grade.
A lot of people at the station doing okay with their Cameo stuff.
Really? Well, good for them. They can figure it out. They deserve the money.
Sure. Well, there's other places that I see popping up who are kind of like trying to cut in on their territory, but they're giving people more of a cut. And so it's starting to shift in another direction. Hey, you know, it's like going right towards Cameo. There's new outsider ones. Fred, I bet if you wanted to do that, you could figure out a way to get like 100% of the money. You just don't want to do it at all.
I don't want to do it at all.
Yeah, yeah.
It was fun. My daughter and I would film them.
It was a long thing while you were gone, Rich. It was a whole drawn out thing with Fred where he just got so frustrated with cameos. I'm never doing this again.
No.
And it's you've maintained that stance for 6 months now.
So they when they reached out to me, I just was kind of being a jackass, but kind of being somewhat serious. And I said, they said, you know, would you want to do it the same way we did? And I wrote them back and I put, I'll do it as Murlock the Enchanter. And I never heard back.
I'd pay for that.
Yeah. I was like, you know, why not? If all of a sudden Murlock the Enchanter just appeared. And
I mean, Jim Norton makes a really good living doing Doug Bell and Chip Chipperson. You should be Murlock the Enchanter.
I even have a wizard hat and everything. I have a Rush 2112 album ready to go.
You have a wizard hat?
You bet your ass I have a wizard hat. I'm Murlock the Enchanter, bitch.
Wow.
Right. Yeah, you could just be like, yes. And someone could be like, Murlock, could you wish me happy birthday? And you can say, age is, I do not go by human year.
I had special effects ready to go with fireballs and electricity.
People would pay for that.
Sure.
It'd be funny.
But they never heard back. So there you go, Cameron.
Or you could just sit there and play like Temple of the Spherix or whatever the hell it is. Well,
Temples of the Spherix.
I had 2112 ready to go.
And just play it and just sit there and go,
yeah. Board the Twilight Express.
Well, look at this. We'll break here.
Oh, look at that. And then we got to get back with this Vince Wilfork story.
And then we can get back with the Vince Wilfork story because he's got a...
Big market tease.
His, Sophie's Choice.
This is a tough situation he's in because he found out who indeed
Catch
stole
22.
His Super Bowl rings and probably wishes he didn't.
Catch 22, man. That's why they...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
End of the term. All right, we'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, and like,
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
So, back in May of, when was this? Yeah, back in May. Vince Wilfork reported that he had over $300,000 worth of jewelry stolen from him, including his two Super Bowl rings, also his AFC Championship rings, his 2001 Miami Hurricanes National Championship ring, and other jewelry. He found they were all missing from his home in Texas. Now, he first told cops that he noticed they were gone about a year ago, but he was unsure whether or not they were in storage or at his home in Florida, and he finally filed a report last month. Now, according to records that ended up being obtained and leaked, a Patriots fan contacted Vince Wilfork after coming across a listing for his Super Bowl rings on a Facebook page asking if the items were really legit. So at that point, Vince Wilfork then had his ex-wife reach out to the seller, who claims that his business partner bought the four Patriots rings from DeAndre Holmes Wilfork, Vince's son, back in 2020, for $62,000. He found out that it was indeed his son, if you've seen the mugshot, though, who looks as old as Vince Wilfork does.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like a full-grown man, although I think he's like 20, maybe like 22 years old or so.
Yeah.
But he ended up selling all of those. So during the investigation, the cops claim that his son also sold eight other items, two necklaces, a bracelet, and five earrings to a jewelry store for $4,600 back in March of last year. Now, I guess this guy, Wilfork's son, has had some trouble in the past. He was kicked off the University of Houston football team in 2016 after being arrested for having 381 grams of codeine in his car. Is codeine still a thing? Isn't that the, what's it called? Scissorp, right?
Yes.
I didn't realize that. Well, I guess.
Big in Houston.
I was about to say, University of Houston. Wasn't that rapper whose name was Houston? Didn't he get all hopped up on the scissorp and like cut his own eye out?
That was Bushwick Bill.
No. Bushwick Bill, he got shot, right?
Or he shot himself.
No, Houston.
Oh, yeah. The guy cut his eye out. Yep.
Because he said God told him to do that. Yes. But I think that was his big thing, was the purple drink is the same deal, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So the man who allegedly purchased the rings from Wilfork's son returned them to the police. It's unclear whether or not they've been returned to Wilfork or whether they're being held as evidence. But they're saying that the amount that his son ended up stealing from Vince Wilfork could total up to $400,000. So his son right now was arrested, charged with theft of property worth over $300,000, which is a felony.
Yeah.
And his bond is set at $300,000. So,
it's a major felony. I mean, he's going to jail.
So if you are Vince Wilfork, do you have the power?
No.
Because at this point, you can't get it back, right?
No, cat's out of the bag.
That's what I thought.
If you don't press charges, it doesn't matter.
No,
I mean, charges have documented evidence that this kid is guilty.
Ooh.
Yeah, so, he'll probably testify to take it light sentence and all this stuff, but no, the kid's going to jail.
Oh, and it's got to be awful.
I don't know what you'd about that. What do you want a ring for? Someone's ring.
Well, I've always thought that, because you hear about this all the time. Things popping up like in pawn shops where who wants to buy a Super Bowl ring from whatever year? And you're like, that ring's A, got somebody else's name on it. B, what are you going to do with it? And you didn't earn it.
See, the thing about a baseball card is there is a chance that a kid could get it. Just opening a $2 pack of cards
could
get the card that is a piece of art that exists in the world. Yeah, like a Super Bowl ring, you're not going to wear it.
It's like something that was earned by somebody else. It's weird.
Yeah,
especially if they're living, then it's just depressing.
They had that thing where the Mike D was auctioning off all this stuff, and they had all these like platinum records or gold record for Paul's Boutique, and it was reasonably priced. And I thought, oh, and then I went, what am I going to do with that?
Yeah,
like,
but
pretend it's mine?
That I would feel a little bit better about, because it had it definitely had his seal of approval, and you got it through like Mike D and whatever charity he was doing it for and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I still, it was just like, what am I going to do? Like, it's like, I'm going to spend this amount of money to hang it up, but I'm never going to look at it. If I was trying to get laid, maybe we played all these songs, maybe I could say that I was in the Beastie Boys.
Sure.
Maybe I could say I was Mike D.
Yeah.
It's true.
Be the Def Leppard guy.
It's true.
I will never not.
I still don't know the lyrics.
I know.
I don't either.
Yeah.
You got a squeezy little, tease a little, please a little more.
Easy operator coming knocking on. I mean, because the lyrics don't make any sense, which is part of the reason. It's just a bunch of nonsense thrown together. That's part of the reason it's hard to decipher.
Mm-hmm.
Is because you can't make heads or tails of it.
Crazy little woman in a one-man show, is that right?
Crazy little woman in a one-man show.
Mirror queen, mannequin, mirror queen, rhythm of a love? Sweet dreams, saccharin, loosen up?
I don't know. Yeah. Sounds about right.
Fine.
Sure,
saccharine.
Why not? Saccharine. Loosen up, dun, 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 dun. Hey!
I really did think he said Lucifer.
Oh, well, they love the devil. I mean,
Rock of Ages was in the beginning of Rock. If you play backwards, when he says, Eaten, Gotten.
Oto Glieben, Globen, Globen.
Now we're talking.
That's satanic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the NBA playoff TV ratings are indeed up. And we were talking about this off the air. So not only is it up from last year, where it's up a lot from last year when it was with the bubble, because it was kind of depressing, let's be honest. 46% up from last year, but also 3% up from 2019, pre-pandemic. I have to be honest, despite all the injuries, this has been one of the more interesting playoff runs in a while, because not only do you have real heroes and real villains. And the real villains, obviously, we know who they are with the Brooklyn Nets. But I'm loving these teams that you don't normally see in the playoffs, like the Atlanta Hawks. They have been fun as hell because, as I said, Trae Young he gives zero Fs about anybody's feelings, about what they think. He pissed off the New York Knicks while he was up there. What's the name? Clint Capella as well. He's talking trash. Everyone wants to see the storylines.
Atlanta is the only underdog team to win in the first round. Every other favorite won.
Well,
so they're easy
Phoenix
to root
is
for.
Still an underdog in all of this, despite
But if you look at the NBA playoffs, it's all been chalk except for Atlanta, but the chalk teams were expected to lose, like Phoenix, for example.
Yep, and this is great, too, because you've got new teams like that. The Lakers are out, which keep it kind of interesting. It's no longer just a given that the Warriors or the Lakers are going to win it all. They're out of it. You've got real hatred between some of these teams. There's attitude. There's will Doc Rivers end up failing once again and choking in the playoffs? That could happen. And now you've got this whole air with all of these stars who are injured that anyone can win. Anyone can win out there. So the ratings seem to prove it, that people are in on it. And I also think that there was something about just watching sports in a bubble that was depressing to people. They didn't want to see any of it. All the ratings were down for almost all the sports last year, except for golf. I think when that came back, I think golf ended up doing okay. Speaking of that, there was a golfer arrested during the old Corn Ferry Tour qualifying tournament.
The Corn Ferry Tour is a pesky woman, I'll tell you that. It's hard to contain.
So apparently, these two golfers, Daly and Smith, came to blows after the seventh hole, minutes after Daly apparently approached Smith to suggest that he should have helped him look for his lost golf ball earlier in the hole. As Daly walked to the next hole, Smith allegedly jumped on Daly's back and began punching him.
You're left with no other option. I mean, you got the Statesboro Cornhole Open, I tell you. I mean, you got to qualify, man.
Soon after, a third golfer, Derek Fribbs, attempted to break up the fight, yet Smith's dad, Oliver, promptly waved his putter in the air.
Is it taking a page from Kevin Durant's book?
Get your bodyguard or dad.
Yeah, well, in this case, you know, he doesn't have bodyguard money, so just get your dad to do it.
Staff later arrested the guy, the original one who jumped on the dude's back, to the clubhouse. And,
why are you arresting the guy?
Well, they're arresting him because the guy who he jumped on pressed charges.
Of course.
You can't press charges.
No, of course not.
You don't press charges in those. I'm sure he's not without guilt. I highly doubt it just went down like the guy just decided to jump.
Why don't you help me look for the ball? And then that was what started the fight? No.
Yeah, I don't think that it went down quite like that. Because I've had police ask if I wanted to press charges before after getting my ass kicked, and I thought there's probably a lot more to this story than I recall right now. That maybe it's better off if no one knows. All right, that'll do it for us. The Great Zolak and Bertrand Show is up next. There are no commercials before then. We are giving them the good old-fashioned... Oh, Bertrand's on your bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.